Take your Bibles this morning, and you can turn over to Romans chapter number 7 and 8. And that's our main text this morning is Romans 7 and 8, which is page 1174. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, please use that pew Bible in front of you, the black pew Bible. Turn to page 1174, and that will take you right to Romans chapter 7 and 8. Did anybody not receive a message handout? There's several verses on here I want us to go over. Is there anybody that needs one? Would you lift up your hand right down here? Okay, good. Just lift them up high in the balcony or the main floor. Right down here somewhere. Okay. Romans 7 and 8 this morning. I'm going to spend the next four Sundays talking about this subject, the problem of the flesh. The problem of the flesh. Jesus told His disciples, He said, the Spirit indeed is willing, in your handout it says, but the flesh is what? Weak. You know, He told His disciples, I want you to watch and pray with me. He came back and they were asleep. And Jesus said, you know, guys, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Their flesh didn't want any part of praying. Your flesh doesn't want any part of praying, nor does it want any part of studying God's Word. This morning as I preach God's Word, the flesh will resist it. The flesh wants to not concentrate, wants to think about football, wants to think about lunch, or you know, whatever the case may be. But the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus also said in your handout, it says that Jesus said in John 6:63, the Spirit quickeneth, but the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh is of no spiritual profit whatsoever to you. And again, we see that the Spirit and the flesh are pictured as being in direct opposition. Now, obviously, Jesus was revealing a problem that we all have. It's the problem of the flesh. In the Bible, you say, what's the flesh in the Bible? Here's what it is in your handout. The flesh is identified as being that part of you that is unregenerate and at enmity with God. In your flesh is said to dwell the law of sin. What's in your flesh? The law of sin. Say it again. What's in our flesh? The law of sin. Now, when you find yourself struggling to live the Christian life, you're thinking, man, I'm just struggling, man. I'm just struggling to live it. I'm just fighting, man. I'm struggling to live the Christian life. Guaranteed, it has to do with walking after the flesh instead of walking after the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and notice this. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What I want to do is I want to study God's Word this morning, and we're going to need to have our Bibles ready, okay? Because we're going to really look into God's Word. You know, again, you know, if we're just coming for entertainment, or we're just coming, you know, to kind of have a self-help talk, you've come to the wrong church, okay? What we want to do is we want to dive into God's Word, and we want to study it. And we want to study out this thing of the flesh, because I'm telling you right now that the flesh is the reason why we struggle in our Christian life. If you're struggling with an addiction, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling with rearing your children, if you're struggling in your relationships, it goes back to the flesh. He said, the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. If we're struggling, then it has to do with this thing of the flesh. So we've got to spend some time, we've got to dive in, and we've got to see this thing. Now, this morning, you're gonna need to be yielded to the Spirit, because again, I'm not going to be giving you some easy-to-digest milk. You're going to have to really think along with me. You're going to have to use your mind, okay, as you're filled with the Spirit. If you're saved and you know the Lord, you're going to really need to be yielded to the Spirit, because my prayer is that God will enlighten. As Paul said, I pray that your eyes will be enlightened, that you may see what is the hope of your calling. This morning, I want your eyes to be enlightened. I want your spiritual understanding to be open, that you may see the hope of your calling and exactly what your calling involves in Christ. So let's do this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, and let's make sure that we're yielded to the Spirit, that I'm yielded, you're yielded, and that we're ready to teach and then receive God's Word. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and Lord, we need you to enlighten us this morning. Father, I pray right now, I yield to you, and I confess, Lord, that Dan Proctor is dead and buried with Christ, and the only life I have now is that glorious resurrection life that you've given me in Christ. And so right now, I ask that resurrection life fill me and flow through me as I teach, and that it will be Christ in me that we'll be teaching this morning. I pray that each and every person out here will be yielded to the Spirit, and that they will have ears to hear and to receive the Word of God as it is in truth, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. I pray you'll give Christians in here eyes of faith to see and understand and believe what your Word says this morning. We love you. We submit. We yield to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you two principles this morning. Next week we'll build off of these two. But I want to give you two key principles about the flesh. Number one in your handout is this: the Christian's identity. Let's bring that on the screen. The Christian's identity is no longer associated with the flesh. Now, we said that in the flesh dwells the law. Remember? I hope you're listening. In the flesh dwells the law of sin. But here's the thing. Your identity is no longer found and associated with your flesh. Go to Romans chapter 7. Go back a chapter. And let's look at verse 5. He's writing to Christians. They're in Christ. And in Romans 7, 5, he says to these Christians, "For when we were in the flesh..." Notice the past tense. You may want to underline that word "were" because it's past tense. He didn't say "when we now are in the flesh." He said, "for when we were in the flesh," what was going on? Look at it. "The motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members," that's our flesh, "to bring forth fruit unto death." Now again, notice past tense. You know what that tells me? My identity was once tied to the law of sin that was in my flesh. See, my identity was tied to that. Now, why is my identity no longer... Why did he use past tense? Why is it that their identity was no longer in their flesh? Here's why. Because, you see, our spirit, before we're saved, the Bible says our spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. The motions of sins are working in our flesh. And so what do we do as a result? Well, the result, we sin, okay? Before we're saved, we sin. Everything that we do is sinful. Nothing is done through the life of God because we don't have the life of God. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses. We're dead in sins. And I guess right now would probably be a good time to just do a really brief explanation to help you to see this, that God is a triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, three in one. He made you in His image, you're three in one. In fact, if we bring up a chart here, you'll see it. Can we bring that up? Okay, let's bring it up. You're composed of a body, which is synonymous with the flesh, okay? Also, you have a soul, which is the seat of your mind, your emotions, your will, okay, and all those things. Your will, that's your soul. When you make choices, that's that soul, okay? Now, we go down here, and now you have a what? A spirit. Now, the Bible says before you were saved, your spirit was dead. Now, does that mean that it was non-existent? No. When it says dead, it means it was dead in sins. There was no life of God there. You were dead in your sins. There was no life of God in your spirit. And therefore, because there was no life of God in your spirit, then your identity was tied to the law of sin that was operating in your flesh. There was no life of God here, okay? So your body of sin, that body of flesh, was in control of the soul and the spirit. That was your condition before you were saved. But in your handout, it says in Romans 7:18, it is clear that the flesh is still present, but it is no longer the Christian's identity. Turn over to Romans chapter 7 with me, verse 18. Let's look at it. "For I know that in me," Paul said. Now, notice how now he differentiates. "For I know that in me," well, wait a minute, let me clarify, that is in my what? Flesh. Notice how the flesh isn't him anymore. He separates the two. The flesh is not his identity anymore. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Go down to verse 20. He said, "For if I do that I would not." In other words, I do the things that I don't want to do. You know, you hunger to please God. You hunger to glorify God. Your spirit, if you're saved, hungers to glorify the Lord. Then he says, when I do those things that I don't want to do, notice what he says. Verse 20, "It is no more I that do it, but what is it? It's sin that dwelleth in me." So the flesh here is pictured as no longer being our identity. Now, why is that? Why is it that Paul pictures the flesh as no longer being our identity? I want to show you something so exciting. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to bring the page number. If you're using the Pew Bible, we'll bring it up on the screen. But Colossians, go to your right, okay, a few books there, and go to Colossians chapter 2. This is so good. Why is it that you are no longer characterized and your identity is no longer in your flesh? Here's why, if you're saved. Look at verse 11. Now, he just got done telling them in verse 10 that they're complete in Christ. Now we go down to verse 11. He's going to explain why they're complete in Christ. Look at verse 11. Colossians 2 and verse 11. In whom? The whom is Christ. In Christ. So in Christ, God's done something for you. Let's see what he's done. In Christ, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So we're not talking about a physical circumcision like what a baby would go through. This isn't a physical. Circumcised just means to cut away. He's saying, look, this is not a physical cutting away. It's not a physical circumcision. Look at it. In Christ also, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Well, what was cut away and who did it? Let's read the rest of the verse. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. So what's been cut away there is the body of the sins of our flesh. How was it cut away? Look at it. Verse 11, by the circumcision of who? Of Christ. Now, look at the next verse and let's see how that completely changes our identity. Look at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him. That's not water baptism. Because remember, this is a spiritual operation that you don't see. Nobody sees it. It's made without hands. We're talking about something that is the operation of God that takes place the moment that you got saved. This has absolutely nothing to do with something physical and visible like water baptism. This is speaking of Holy Spirit baptism that happened to you when you got saved. When you trusted the Lord, the Bible says the Holy Spirit took you and buried you with Christ in baptism. Wherein also, look at the rest of it, you are risen with Him. Through the what? This is a faith thing here. Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins. Now, this is what you were before you were saved. This is your identity. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's what you were. That's who you were. But now notice, hath he quickened, made alive together with him. With Christ, having forgiven you, how many of your trespasses? All. Now, look up here. There was a spiritual operation of God that took place at salvation. And now I am a brand new person in Christ. The old you, if you're saved, the old you was put to death and buried with Christ. Then you were raised up a new person in Christ. And it all happened in response to simple faith in Jesus Christ. Believing that He died for your sins. Believing that His payment was sufficient for your sins. Believing He rose from the dead. By you putting your faith in the completed, finished work of Jesus Christ, a spiritual operation of God took place the moment you believe that. And the Bible says a spiritual cutting away took place whereby your body of sin, of your flesh, was circumcised. It was cut away from the Spirit in you where God now dwells. In your handout, it says the law of sin in your flesh has been cut off from your spirit where God now dwells. The law of sin in your flesh has now been cut off from your spirit where God now dwells. That's what we just learned. Life has been breathed into your spirit. Look at me. Your spirit within you is no longer dead in sins. It pulsates with the life of Jesus Christ. Your spirit pulsates with the life of Christ. It's no longer in bondage to your flesh. Your spirit has been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. You've been set free. Your spirit's been released. It's been set free. It's no longer in domination and in control of the body of sins in your flesh. That has been circumcised. That has been cut away by the spiritual operation of God that took place by faith the moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. In your... You know what? I'm going to do this. Let me go to a chart. Let's bring that back up. Bring it up. We've got the body, okay? That's the flesh. We've got the soul and the spirit. Now, the body, we said, is the flesh. Let's bring that up. The soul, if we bring that up, is your thoughts, your will. Now, your spirit, now that you're saved, is the inner man, it's called. It's Christ in you, the Bible says. It's the Spirit of the Lord that now dwells in your spirit. The Bible says a spiritual cutting away, a spiritual circumcision took place, and now your spirit has been set free. It's been released from this body of death. And now your identity is no longer tied to this body of sin. Now your identity is Jesus Christ. Your identity is now in your spirit. In your handout, I'm going to give you this statement. It says you are no longer identified with that law of sin that once characterized you. You are identified eternally in Christ. You are identified eternally in Christ. If you're saved, you are identified eternally where? In Christ. Look in your handout at Galatians 5:24. Just kind of reinforces this. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Sometimes we pray, Lord, help me to die. Help me to die, God. Help me to die. Help me to die. Help me to die to Dan Proctor. Guess what? Dan Proctor's dead. Okay? You're praying for something God already did. You see, when you got saved, the Bible says, Paul said, I am... Did he say, I'm being crucified with Christ? No, he said, I am crucified with Christ. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. It's a done deal, okay? And so now you have a new identity, you have a new nature. The body of sin that once characterized you has been cut away from your spirit. Your spirit now has been set free by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now I have a new identity, I have a new nature. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Let's turn back there again. And I want to show you this thing about a new law that's been introduced into you. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law... Here's another law. Now, we already talked about the law of sin in our flesh, but now there's a new law here. Okay? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus hath made me... What's the key word? Free. I have been made free from the law of sin and death. We were made free by the spiritual circumcision of Christ at salvation. You listen, if you've never been spiritually circumcised by Christ, if your flesh has never been circumcised from your spirit, where the life of God dwells, then you know what? You're dead in your sins. You see, your identity is still a sinner because you dwell in a body of sin. And there's no life of God in your spirit. So Jesus said, you're dead in your sins. But if you're saved, a spiritual circumcision has taken place. You're no longer dead in your sins, but now your identity is found in your spirit where the life of God now dwells. Man, I hope you're getting this. Look, Christ lived a sinless life. Do you agree with me? He fulfilled all righteousness. When He died on the cross, what was He doing? Look at Romans 8:3. Let's look and see here. Look at Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, what's the next two words, church? He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, at salvation, when you trusted Christ, Christ came to dwell in your spirit. I want to show it to you. Look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 9. He said to Christians, but ye are not in the flesh. That's not your identity anymore. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be where? In you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The one who wrought the victory over the law of sin and death in the flesh, He now lives within you. And the very essence of your being is Christ. Christ is your identity. So the Christian's identity is no longer associated with the flesh. That's been circumcised. That's been cut away. You say, well, Pastor Dan, then why do I still have problems with the flesh? Maybe you feel like the boxer. He was in there against a big old opponent, and every single round that guy would just pound him senseless. And every time he'd go over to the corner, and his trainer would say to him, get out there and kill him, he hadn't laid a hand on you. And he went out and he'd get pounded again. He'd go to the corner and the trainer would say, get back out there, he hadn't laid a hand on you. Well, this went on and on until finally the boxer told the trainer, he said, then you better keep an eye on that referee because somebody's beating the devil out of me. And that may be you this morning. You may be looking at this thing and you may be saying, okay, I see it. My body of sin, of flesh and death has been cut away. It's been circumcised. I'm a new person in Christ. I pulsate with the life of Christ in my spirit. My identity is now in my spirit. My identity is forever tied to Jesus Christ. Well, then, why am I still struggling with following the flesh? That's a great question. And I want to explain it to you this morning from God's Word. If you'll flip your handout over, I want to give you point number two. The second key principle I want to share with you this morning is this. Now that you've seen your identity, now that you've seen what Christ has done for you in Him, this has all been done for you in Christ. You didn't have to do anything to have that done. And here's the thing. We think we overcome sin by doing things. Man, if I can keep this list of stuff I'm supposed to do, I can overcome sin. No, listen, it's already been done. Okay, I want you to hear me now. Christ has done. The Bible says you are complete in Him. You're complete in Christ. Your identity has completely changed. You're in Christ. Say that with me. I'm what? In Christ. Now, I hope you are. If you're not, we'll show you from the Bible how you can be in Christ. You say, I'm not sure I am in Christ. I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I've ever had this thing happen that you've been talking about. We'll show you, man, you can get that settled. But here's the thing. If you are saved and you know the Lord, you're in Christ. That's your identity now. He's done everything for you in Christ. You have to do anything to have this happen, Brother Larry. We didn't have to be baptized in water. We didn't have to come forward and join the church and shake the preacher's hand. We didn't have to give something to the church. We didn't have to do anything. Listen, the only thing we had to do was just by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we trusted Christ, it was all this that I've explained to you was done for you in Christ. You didn't even see it. You didn't even know it. But it was all being done for you the moment you got saved. Now, why do we still struggle? Let me give you the second thing. Number two. The flesh cannot enslave the Christian unless the Christian chooses to follow the flesh. Before salvation, now stay with me, before, Brother Larry, come here just a minute, I'll have you help me. Brother Larry, before he was saved, and I've heard his testimony, what a wonderful testimony of God's deliverance in your life, of freedom. But you know what, before you were saved, the Bible says, and I want you to get this in your handout, before salvation, you were dead in sins and the flesh enslaved you completely. In His flesh dwells the law of... Thank you. Now, He's not saved. So His spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. So His identity is found in His flesh. That's right. And the flesh is in control of the soul and the spirit. They are in bondage to the flesh. The flesh, that law of sin, is totally in dominance and it's in control. Before Pastor Larry had the life of God in him when he accepted Christ, before that, he had no choice but to walk in slavery to the flesh. Before you were saved, I know from your testimony, you did a lot of good stuff, right? Quote, good things. Oh yeah, he was even a deacon in a Baptist church. But here's the thing though. He had no spiritual life inside of him, therefore he could not please God. No matter what he did, whether he was baptized, whether he joined the church, whether he was a deacon, whether he was a Sunday school teacher, none of that could please God when he was in the flesh. Look at Romans 8:8. I'll show it to you. Look at Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, okay, those whose identity is still with the flesh, they've never been saved. They that are in the flesh cannot, what? This is something really hard to swallow for people that don't know the Lord. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, that's hard to swallow. It's hard for you to swallow to think, well, I've done good things and I was good to my neighbor and I've tried to keep the golden rule and I've been in church since I was born and I've done this and I've done that. And you know what? It's hard for you to accept that all those things that you did could not please God because you didn't have the life of God inside of you. It's all by faith. It's not by your works. So even the good things Brother Larry did, see, he did it through his strength, his power, because he didn't have the power of Christ in him. So he was doing it through him. Therefore, it was not pleasing to God, and it was fleshly. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep your bookmarker right here. We're going to come right back to Romans 8. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, go to your right there. We'll bring the page number up here again, I think, aren't we? Can we go to the next screen? Ephesians 2. And it's page 1216. And look with me at Ephesians 2, verse 1. This is a description of the bondage that you were in. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. He's writing to Christians, and he says, "You hath he quickened, made alive, who were," past tense, "you were dead in trespasses and sins." Now look at the description here. "Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Look at verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Well, that's pretty clear. In your handout, it says that this passage clearly reveals the bondage that you were in. The law of sin and death reigned in your flesh. Paul calls it a body of death, Romans 7:25. Now, at salvation, when you trusted the Lord Christ as your Savior, at salvation, the Spirit of God entered in and changed your identity at the spirit level. Not the flesh level, the spirit level. That's who you really are, is who you are in your spirit. That's the deepest level of existence, is your spirit. The Spirit of God came in and changed you and changed your identity at the spirit level. And get a load of this in your handout, a new law was introduced. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:2. Got to hurry. "For the law," stay with me now, Romans 8:2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." He said, "I don't understand that." Hey, I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm asking you to believe it. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. You know what that's saying? It's saying that you were in bondage to the law of sin. But when you got saved, a new law was introduced in you. And in your handout, it says that the new law supersedes the old law. That's what's exciting. Let me give you a quick illustration. You know, there used to be a law that said you couldn't turn right on a red light. The law changed. There was a new law introduced. The new law introduced said you can turn right on red, provided it's safe, there's no traffic coming. Now, you take this guy right here, he's sitting at a red light, okay? Can he turn right on red there, yes or no? Can he turn right on red, yes or no? Yes. Why? Because of the new law. Now, here's a question, though. Can he choose to sit at that red light anyway? Yeah, he can sit there till midnight if he wants to. He can choose to sit there all day long at that red light. There's no need to because a new law has been introduced. But he can willingly choose to say, I'm going to abide by the old law. And I'm going to sit here at this red light till it turns green. Now, in the same way, in your handout, it says the Christian can willingly choose to follow the flesh. You can submit to that old law of sin and death if you want to. I mean, God gives you a free will to make that. Every day you make choices. You're not a robot. God's not up in heaven, you know, pulling strings and pushing buttons and pulling levers. You have a choice every day to make. Look at it. It's so clear in the Bible. Look at Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be filled in us. How is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? That new law. See? Look with me at verse 13. He writes to Christians. He says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. What is that talking about? Next week we're going to get into that. But he says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. See the choice that faces you? Romans 6:13. Look back there. Romans 6:13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You know what that's inferring? You can do that if you want to. You can take your body and yield it as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Or, he says, you can yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You got a new identity. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Before salvation, you lived in the flesh. And you lived under the law of sin. Stay with me 2 minutes. And I'm going to give you some concluding thoughts here about this. Before salvation, you lived in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are under the law of sin. You are under the law of sin and death. But here's what I want you to get. Christian, those of you who know the Lord, that is no longer true of you. You have been set free. Your spirit is no longer dead in sins and in bondage to the law of sin in your flesh. A new law has been introduced. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it entered into your spirit the moment you trusted Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. The flesh is no longer your identity. Christ is your identity. Listen, don't let anybody tell you, well, you know, you've been an alcoholic. You're always going to be an alcoholic. Wrong. Your identity is no longer an alcoholic. Now you're in Christ. Amen. That's your identity. Remember what he told? Remember the passage we looked at a few weeks ago? He told the Corinthians, some of you were drunkards. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were thieves. He says, but now, he said, that's what they were, past tense. He says, but now you're washed. You're justified, you're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's not you anymore. Now, you can choose to go. You can choose to submit to that old law of sin and death and do some of that old stuff. Yeah, that's your choice. And next week we're going to see what happens when we do that. We're going to see what happens when we choose to follow the flesh next week. But for right now, what I want you to see is this. Your identity is Christ. Regardless of your actions, that does not change who you are in Christ. That does not change your identity. You see, Christ circumcised that fleshly body of death, and now you are free. You are absolutely free to have Christ live His life through you. The life of Christ has been breathed into you. Your spirit pulsates with the life of Christ. It's no longer in bondage to the flesh. It's been cut away. And so now that means you have liberty and freedom to let that life of Christ live through you. you can let the life of Jesus live through you. And it's all by faith. It's all by faith. The flesh cannot enslave you. Now, in your handout, here's the key, though. Only by your choice can the fleshly law of sin and death have any influence over you anymore. Only by your choice can the law of sin and death have any influence over you anymore. Because you've been set free. You don't. You know what? Before I was saved, I had to sin. So what do you mean? Yeah, I had to sin because everything I did was sin. You know what I mean? There's no life of God. Listen, anything that doesn't come from the life of God is sin. So therefore, if I didn't have the life of God, everything I did was sin. I was totally in bondage to the law of sin and death. But praise the Lord, you've been set free. Now your spirit has been set free. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And now you are free to be able to let the life of Christ live through you and to live in the victory that Christ wrought for you on the cross. You see, He condemned sin in the flesh. So now you're free to let that victory live out through you. Well, I hear a lot of zippers and Bibles. I guess we're ready to go home, aren't we? I'll tell you what, we are going to get into a lot more. Next week, we're going to look at this thing. Why, what, you know, when we choose to follow the flesh, you know, what happens then? And I'm going to show you. It's sobering, but man, I tell you, we need to see what happens when a Christian chooses to abide in that old law instead of abiding in that new law that set him free. All right, we'll look at that next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.